We're turning to the first two verses of Ephesians chapter 5. The first two verses of Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll read those verses together. Verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. These words that we have just read are, of course, very closely linked to the verses at the conclusion of the chapter 4. I repeat a warning, a caution, that I have on many occasions stated, that we must never let chapter divisions lead us to think that because we are beginning a new chapter, a new topic, a new matter, a new subject is also beginning. So we can sort of discard or set aside or leave out of our thinking what it is we have just read in the previous chapter. That is not the case. The chapter divisions in our Bibles are not inspired. They're a great help, but they're not inspired. So we must ever bear that in mind. You will see that there is a very close link between the last verse of chapter 4 and the opening verse of chapter 5. "Be ye therefore." The little word "therefore" is a word that indicates that Paul is developing what it is he has just said and now enlarging upon it. He's about to say something that is very definitely linked with that which has gone before. Speaking is a bit like the building trade. It's block upon block, brick upon brick. And that's how we develop what it is we want to say to those around us. And it's always good to, when you're building, make sure you don't leave any gaps. And when you're speaking, don't leave any gaps. Don't leave gaps for people to sort of fill in and try and work out, as it were, what it is that you intended them to put into the gap. Because they could well put in something you didn't intend, and so your meaning is distorted. So when you're building, you must have brick attached to brick, or else you're building's not going to be very sound, and when you're speaking, likewise. And Paul here is laying the verse 1 of chapter 5 very much upon the last verse of chapter 4. There's a development within the thought process of the apostle as he's writing. "Be ye therefore, in the light of what I have just said, here is what we should be. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." In the last verse of chapter 4, we have an exhortation, indeed the last two verses, we have an exhortation to exercise great tenderness toward other believers. It's worth our while to remember the words of Paul in verses 31 and 32 of chapter 4, that all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. Imagine all those things can be in our hearts. Yes, they can. They can be in the very best of hearts. There's not one of us, not one of us, can say, oh, this does not refer to me. Some may manage to keep themselves from evil speaking, but that doesn't mean they haven't kept themselves from evil thinking. And Paul does not just say, make sure you don't say anything nasty. But he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger, those are things that are within the heart, let none of these things have a place. Because if they do, it is inevitable. No matter how much you seek to control them, if they are there, then it will lead on to clamor and evil speaking. And that will, of course, exacerbate the sin. But we must rather put them away from us with all malice. And instead of this, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So here's what we ought not to be, and here's what it is we ought to be. Dear Christian, can you look these verses in the eye? Can you? God give us grace to do so. I hope that you just don't look them in the eye and with brazenness pretend that it has nothing to do with you, that you would never have such a disposition as this, but rather with meekness of heart look them in the eye and pray, God give you grace to be delivered from these sins. Now Paul, having led this exhortation before the people, then goes on, be ye therefore. If this is what is required of us, that we don't be bitter or filled with wrath or anger and we don't be given over to evil speaking, but rather we are to be kind and tender-hearted and forgiving one another. If that's the case, be ye therefore followers of God. He's telling us now what exactly it is we ought to be. Having told us, don't be like this, but rather be like this, he then sums up what is required of us by saying, be ye followers of God. And that in a simple statement is what you and I are to be as Christians, followers of God. Followers of God. Let me start off by indicating to you that that little word followers can be understood by a variety of English words that will help us to grasp just what it is that Paul is saying. The Greek word that is translated followers is a word from which we get mimic. So Paul is saying, be ye mimics of God. Maybe you're not quite sure what it means to mimic someone. Well, it simply means to imitate. To imitate. Be ye imitators of God. That's what the Christian ought to be. The Christian ought to be an imitator of God. That's what we're commanded to be. We're commanded to imitate God. To imitate God. Not merely follow Him in the general direction in which He goes, but follow Him in everything. Follow Him in His disposition, in the outworkings of His love. Follow Him in His dealings with others. We have to observe God, study God, and then seek to be like God. That's what a Christian is supposed to be. Now, of course, we cannot imitate God in His works of creation and providence. Those are works that belong to God alone and cannot be imitated by men. But we are to imitate God in His holiness. We are to imitate God in His compassion. We are to imitate God in His mercy. I might say that the devil tries to be as God, but in a fashion that is wrong. If you care to read Isaiah chapter 14, the verses 13 and 14, you'll see the devil's plan to imitate God. Just look at it. God, He reveals to us what is in the heart of the devil. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. But it is not the imitating of God in love, but it is a desire to supplant God, replace God, that is here expressed. In fact, these words, I believe, can be applied particularly to the Antichrist, who is, of course, the very embodiment of all that is evil. And there will come the day when he will declare himself to be God. And none under his power or authority will be able or permitted to worship anybody other than him. Revelation chapter 13 reveals that to us. So here's an evil imitating of God. An imitation that's born of jealousy, born of rebellion. But that's not what we are called to. Rather, we are called to obey God in the outworkings of His person, His power, His love and His mercy, as much as in us lies, and in keeping with the duties that are required of us by God. The actions of the Lord Jesus, revealed in the Word of God, are our guide as to how we are to obey those duties that are required of us of God. Paul touched upon the duties in the verses 31 and 32. Of the previous chapter. Be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another. Well, how do we do that? Well, look at Christ. And there you will see a pattern of how we ought to thus live. We are to seek to imitate God from our very heart. That's important for us to note. It is heart conformity to God that is required. In verse 2, it is walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. You see, it's not enough for us to put on a smile. It's not enough for us to carefully produce the appearance of being a charitable person. I often think of the televangelist and those polished professional religious leaders that we're presented with today. And they have so carefully rehearsed the very expressions on their faces and the words that they employ in order to give us the impression of the supposed fact that they're just all sweetness and light. And yet so often the world has seen it made clear to them that these men are just skin deep in their so-called Christianity. That behind the smile and the compassion, there's a hard and bitter and wicked and evil heart. I suppose there's been no clearer evidence of this than in the recent scandals within the Roman Catholic Church. Those prelates, those professionals who come across so sweet, yet all the time were suppressing the truth regarding the grossest, gravest wickedness wrought within their particular church. Now, that's not what we're called to. God forbid us attempting to put on such a face. I have no time for that. I have no time for that. I don't believe that any Christian has time for that. God hates that. God hates the hypocrite. God hates the actor. And remember, that's what the word hypocrite means. That's where it comes from. It comes from the world of Greek theater. It speaks of a person who is an actor, playing out a role, putting on a voice, adopting certain styles and mannerism to play out the part. And that's what a hypocrite is. And God hates the religious hypocrite who's only playing out a role. That's not what we are called to here. We are to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. That's the way we're to do. We're to love as He loved. We're to have His heart, His mind. That's how we are to imitate God. It's not enough, as I've said, to merely produce words. The heart must be conformed to the Lord. The heart must be conformed to the Lord. So often is the case in the epistles of John, where the topic again and again is that of love. He says in 1 John chapter 3 and the verse 18, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Don't just speak words that seem to suggest you have a loving heart, but rather let your love speak through your actions. Through your actions. Indeed, John there says, let us not love inward. And where there is love, it'll not talk. Do you know that? Where there is love, it will not speak. Love doesn't go around saying, you know, I am so tender-hearted and I am so kind and I am so loving. Where you hear that, then you can be sure there's no real love in the heart. That's the voice of real love. The voice of real love is, as I've already read to you there in 1 John 3 and 18, the voice of real love is seen and heard in the actions that it produces, deed and in truth. I'm thinking what it says in Corinthians, where Paul speaks about charity, and of course you know that that's the old word meaning love. It's the same word. 1 Corinthians 13, it tells us what charity is like. Verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It doesn't advertise itself. It doesn't lift itself up. It doesn't elevate itself. It doesn't talk about itself. Wherever you hear this talk, people advertising their tenderness, you can be sure there's a certain degree of the absence of true love. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. all those little phrases written there of the Holy Ghost indicate that if we're going to love as Christ loved, then it's not a matter of talking and of words. It will be a matter of action. Our hearts will be conformed to the Lord Jesus, and we will act as He did act. We need no other pattern, I might say. We don't need any other example to follow than the Lord Jesus. You find that in the New Testament in particular, when good men call on others to imitate them, they write in immediately a limitation to that exhortation. They qualify the exhortation that they make. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul the Apostle says, "Be ye followers of me." And it doesn't end there. "Even as I also am of Christ." Even as I also am of Christ. Listen to me. And this is something that we need to take note of today. You are not to follow the best of men in whatever ways they go. You are not to assume that because I know this man to be a good man, and I have heard him, and I have listened to him, and I have benefited from him, therefore, whatever steps he takes, I will take with him. You're wrong. You're wrong. You are to follow good men only insofar as they follow Christ. You are to judge good men against Christ. And where a good man deviates from the Lord Jesus, then you deviate from the good man. Just you remember that. Just you remember that. I'm reading at the present time a biography of a very well-known lady in the 18th century, Selina, Countess of Huntington. She was converted and became a wonderful instrument of good in those days of revival. Wonderful instrument of good. Did a lot of good. But it's interesting in reading her story how many rows there were in the midst of that revival. I find that absolutely astounding. You think that all rows will stop as soon as God's blessing begins? You have no idea. In actual fact, there will be rows start when revival begins, the like of which you can't even begin to notice. And there were splits and splits and fallings out amongst great men. Many sided with the Countess on issues. Many sided with others on issues. Many sided with old John Wesley. Oh, what a losing sight of Christ there was, even in the midst of those revivals. I tell you, it's very difficult. We're so inclined to follow our leader. It's very difficult to keep in mind what God is here saying. But that you must do. That you must do. We don't belong to a man. We belong to Jesus. We belong to Jesus. And we must imitate Him. And follow Him. God's people need to keep that in mind. I have no doubt that there would be much less division amongst God's people if that were borne in mind. That those who do split the people of God would have a whole lot less followers if this truth were kept in mind. that if we would but bear in mind the words of Paul. Imagine what a humble thing it was for an apostle like Paul, a man who had led thousands and thousands to the Lord, who had pioneered the gospel work, who had established many, many, many churches, and yet this great man who was a leader, who was able of the Holy Ghost to say, I'm not the least of the apostles. I have labored more than any of them. Now he said that not boastfully, that was a simple truth. A man who had in some strange and wonderful way been lifted up to heaven. And so unspeakable things. Yet that man said, don't follow me unless I'm following the Lord Jesus. Oh, men and women, we would be well served to take note of that truth. We don't need any other pattern. We don't need to say, well, he does it, therefore I'll do it. No, 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 no. Let us keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus and follow him. This is the whole purpose of God for us, I might say. This being imitators. That sums up the whole purpose of God for you. You might say, what's God's will for my life? Here it is. And there's not a boy or a girl here today but can understand that. We have so many games that we build round this little thought. I remember at school, and that shows you what a memory I have, that we used to have games where someone was set up at the front and they did certain actions, and you only could do those actions as long as they gave you the right command. Used to be O'Grady. I don't know who this fellow O'Grady was, but he used to say, O'Grady says do this, and O'Grady says do that, and you had to follow him. And then in the middle of it all, of course, they'd just say, do this. And of course, those who did that without having the command, O'Grady says do this, were out. That's imitating. That's imitating. Maybe I'll start a trend now in our school. That's imitating. Children know about it. Every one of you here today have a child with the same accent as you. That's because they imitate. If you were born a couple of hundred miles away in England, they'd have a different accent because they would imitate. They'd imitate. God wants his children to imitate him. Are you seeking to imitate the Lord? When you speak to people, say, why, I hear the accents of God there. Do they? Do they? Or do they say, he speaks just like me, an old worldly sinner, talks just the same as me? Do you deny that you're a born-again believer? Every time you open your mouth because you've got the accent of the world? No. The whole purpose of God for you and for me is that we might more and more and more and more become like him. That's the purpose of God. Romans 8 and 29. Famous verse. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. If you're saved today, the purpose of God is that you might take on the likeness of the Lord Jesus. That you might be conformed to the image of his Son. Oh, how many read through the fashion magazines and the catalogues and those magazines that tells us all about what this one's doing and that one's doing, and they're noting the things they're wearing and what they're saying and what they're listening to, and they say, oh, I must do that or I must get that. Be that the way of the world. You should be reading this and saying, what does God do? What does God say? How does God act? Let me learn from him. Let me copy him. Let me imitate him. If you are a Christian, you have a hope one day of being glorified. In Philippians chapter 3 in the verse 21, it says of that day, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? That's the only fashion interest, Christian, you should have. No, I don't mean that Christians should dress in a dowdy manner. That's not what I'm saying. There's a natural instinct that would have us all wash our face and tidy ourselves up. That's not what I'm talking about. When I speak of worldly fashion, but we're not to be carried away by the ways of the world, following its dictates. Instead, remember that day when we shall be fashioned like unto his glorious body. That's where we're going. If you're a true child of God, one day you will take on a likeness to the Lord Jesus in every way. We shall be like him, John says. We shall be like him. And during our lifetime, it is the purpose of God to work in us an increasing likeness. That's God's purpose. We are, says Peter, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's purpose for you. Be ye followers of God. Be ye followers of God. Be ye imitators of God. Mimic God. Might I just say in closing of this first part of our study of these verses, what a motive is here presented to us for holiness of life. Imitation of our Heavenly Father. Surely that's a natural instinct. Surely there's nothing burdensome about that. Every little boy wants to be like his father. Every little girl wants to be like her mother. And oftentimes there is an imitating of father and mother by both boys and girls, because there's aspects of both parents' characters that are to be admired and copied. It ought to be no difficulty for you and for me to imitate our Heavenly Father. He ought to be the object of our highest admiration. He ought to be everything that we would wish to be. God says, be ye holy as I am holy. What does it say here? Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. As dear children. As beloved children. We're beloved of God. We have been favored by God to a degree we can't even begin to measure. Ought not those of us who have thus been favored seek to respond to the favor shown to us by imitating the one who has thus favored us? Would we not want to be like the one who has so richly blessed us? Oh, I think that here is a motive. Gratitude would have us follow God. Just to bow before him and thank him. Bless him. What he has done for us surely identifies him as the very fountain of all goodness and righteousness and purity and love. That being so, that's what I want to be like. I cannot aim higher. Be ye followers of God. That's what we're to be, Christian. Man, if this was a congregation made up of followers of God, what harmony, what love, what an influence there would be in our district. May God, by His grace, sever everything that would cause us to depart from the Lord and set us free to follow the Lord. That's what blind Bartimaeus did. He couldn't follow the Lord with his blindness. But as soon as he obtained his sight, he followed Jesus. Followed Jesus. May the Lord get our eyes on Him and enable us to follow Him day by day. May God bless His word to our hearts. Father, forgive us for our wanderings. What an insult we have directed to heaven when we have turned to follow the world. Like Lot's wife when she turned to look at Sodom. She loved the place that she was going away from more than she loved the place that God was leading her to. Lord, save us from that. Save us from backsliding. Fill our eyes with Christ. Please help us, Lord, for we're sinful creatures. Help us to follow Thee. And day by day learn to be a little more like Jesus. Be like Jesus, this my song. Be like Jesus all day long. Write Your word on our hearts, O God. We ask it in Thy name. Amen. Amen.